In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. The microphone's not working, so I'll be loud, if I can be. We're still in this radiant time, this radiant 40 days of the Lord's resurrection. We greet one another, not with hi or hello first, at least, but with these beautiful words of Christ is risen, truly He is risen, in whatever language. The language of God is beyond language, beyond time. We greet each other with these holy words. We sing these holy hymns. The church is still beautifully decorated. The birds are singing outside. The weather is turning nice. It seems as if all creation, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We celebrate in all the hymns the resurrection of Christ. The Lord is risen and has caused death to die. The thing we fear the most, the thing that conquers almost every part of this fallen world, death. Why do people freak out about getting age lines or wrinkles? Because it means death is impending. Better get rid of it. Why do people dress when they're 80 just like they're 20? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of getting old. They're afraid of... But we shouldn't be afraid. Christians shouldn't be afraid. It's the good news. He has caused death to die. And when death is no more a great fear, then life is lived in a very different way. A person who is constantly fearing death and trying to avoid it lives very differently from a person who is free. The cliche is that he who is ready to die can truly live. It's so true. And it was the maxim of Christians. It was actually in the ancient history. You can read things from non-Christian people who watched Christians in the early church. They were amazed by them. They are most amazed by the fact that they were so calm. And they had joy in the face of adversity. They lived for another world, and yet they were the best neighbors. They were the most loving. They were the most kind. When treated poorly, when cursed, they blessed. When reviled, they prayed. That's what set them apart, was this lack of fear. Not carelessness and yahoo-ness, no. But a calm, firm trust that Christ is risen. And here's the important part. That because of His resurrection, we are also risen. See, I really think that the reason why that sometimes the joy of the resurrection, which 80% of America claims to be Christian, I'd stop it, to be honest, let's just be real. That's the claim, at least. Then why is the world still a mess? Why you turn the news on, it's a mess, another shooting? Because it doesn't matter the words we say, I'm a Christian, this, that, the other. It matters, first of all, that He is risen. The Lord is risen. God became man so man could become like God. The living God-man, the Theanthropos, He destroyed death. Destroyed it. It's different now. But here's why it becomes lip service and people aren't changed. Because His resurrection has to become ours. We have to own it. And I think that's the distance, the fathers say, between us having this joy or just being like, yeah, Christ is risen, but yeah, I'm going to walk right back to my sinfulness. I got to go back to my stinky job tomorrow on Monday. I'll be miserable and yell at my kids or whatever it is. There's incongruity there, right? We can't live that way. Early Christians didn't live that way, and the saints didn't live that way, and we can't live that way. Why? First of all, it's miserable. It's miserable to have the eternal, deathless God crying out to us, drawing us to paradise, and us saying, no, I don't really want it. I don't really want it. I'm really comfortable here in this short, dead life. Right? It's miserable for us. Second of all, this is not a transformed life. How will people be drawn to Christ? How did the church grow with illiterate fishermen? Because of this firm faith. Because of a firm trust that God... We were reading all week from the Gospel of John. He who eats my body and drinks my blood has life in him. And I will raise him up on the last day. They had firm hope that, okay, we die. We'll see you again. Right? We believe that firmly, not in like a, yeah, everybody just goes to heaven and we're going to see everyone again. And no, that's not how we say it. But we know that there's no life outside of Christ in this life, but especially in the age to come. If we have Him, that is paradise. The fathers say paradise isn't a place. It's beyond space and time. It's with Him. If you're with Christ, you have paradise, even in this life. Even in this life. So what keeps us from making his resurrection our resurrection. Desire, will, right? It's given to the whole world. Christ's crucifixion was for every human being in the entire world that's ever lived in the past and that will ever live in the future. Once slain, constantly partaking of him. But we have a choice, brothers and sisters. God gives us freedom. It's the most beautiful divine quality we have. It's a beautiful and terrible thing. I remember when I was young, you know, when I was a freshman in high school, oh, I can't wait to be a sophomore. I want to have freedom. I want to be on my own, do what I want to do, And then I remember finishing high school, going to college, and then you finish college and you go, shoot, I can do whatever I want, but I really wish someone would tell me what to do now. You see, I craved this freedom, and now I got it, and I'm so afraid of going the wrong way. I could do anything I wanted. And I was terrified in some sense. Freedom is a beautiful and a terrible thing. And thank God I found the church. Thank God I found Christ. Thank God each one of us in unique ways found the church. But our constant question and our constant urging has to be, how can his resurrection become mine? Because it's worthless. Christ didn't come to show us a nice example or to show us how amazing he was. He's God. He came to give us life. And life abundantly, he says. And so what keeps us from putting on life and putting on his resurrection? Our love for sin, our love for this world, more than our love for Christ and our love for eternity. We're in love with this world, brothers and sisters. We all have to eat, of course. We all have to sleep, of course. We have to have homes and go to work. And these things are all blessed. God takes care of all of these things for us. But the problem is they become the main event. And our prayers become side thing. Church becomes, I like going, but not the center of my life. Think about it. If you're I would often say, if you're playing tug of war, you know, and they have a back and forth, and you have 100 guys on one side and 5 on the other, it's pretty guaranteed he's going to win. So if the Lord is risen, he's called death to die, but that doesn't really mean much to me, and I'll give 5 minutes a day, maybe. I'll throw a little, you know, I'll give a little money to the church. I'll go here once in a while. But if that's not your main focus, what's wrong with us? The living God offers us life eternal, no more fear of death, and occupies so little of our time, our mind power, all of our resources and faculties. All of us, myself included, we get caught up in this life. Why? Because we're double-minded. And the Lord knows we're weak. That's why we need the church as our mother. That's why we need to have morning, evening prayers to give us balance. That's why we need to fast on these Wednesdays and Fridays. We fish one in oil, how hard is that? We need it. Our souls will crumble with no walls. We just say, I'll just see how I feel. My gosh, we'll lay around all the time. Right? I'll just go with how I feel, Father. Just people say, you go with how you feel, you won't go to work, you'll lay on the ground, you'll eat sweets, you'll get fat. I mean, it will be a mess. That's the lie of the world. If I do what I want and get my little precious, I'll be happy. For a second. And then the hangover comes, spiritually and otherwise. So how are we going to be transformed? Each Sunday in this 40 days is given a different theme. Right? This Sunday we're given this beautiful, the icon's in the back, you can look, the icon of the paralytic. The Lord raising this man who is paralyzed. And the beautiful reading from the book of Acts about the reading of St. Peter's healing of Tabitha. So beautiful. Why is it given to us? To show us the situation as it is. The Lord is risen. He's caused death to die. But do you want to be healed? It's the most powerful question of the gospel, I believe. The Lord comes to this man, 38 years, laying on the side of this portico. There was 5 porches. It's called the sheep's pool out of the temple. Why? Because the sheep will be used for the sacrifices in the temple, will be gathered there. And then after they slaughtered them, their innards would be washed ceremoniously there. And interestingly, even before the coming of Christ, in the first dispensation, the Old Testament, God didn't lead people astray. He sent prophets. He sent holy people as a foretaste of the coming of Christ. As a foretaste of baptism, he gave this angel would come down every so often and would have a moving of the water by the grace of God. And the first person in the water would be healed, whatever disease they had. The Father said this prefigures baptism. With the Jews, it was limited. It was cold. It was ruthless. One gets healed and hundreds don't for 38 years. No longer. Everyone can enter baptism. and never is extinguished. The waters of baptism and the grace of everlasting life have no end. Constantly partaking of them. It's not one person, not the first person to get in. It's every human soul that wants to get into the waters of life can be healed forever. How beautiful is that? And today's just this is a foretaste of what Christ was bringing. He comes to this man, 38 years. What patience, the fathers say. He didn't give up. We often say, I did my prayers like a month, Father. It's not working. Well, right, I fasted. I tried that. It doesn't work. I tried the Jesus prayer, Father. I tried stopping my sins. I'm not happy. I'm happy in my sinfulness. You try it for a month. You try it for a year. He who endures to the end will be saved. 38 years. Woman with an issue of blood, hunched over St. Veronica, many years. The fathers tell us patience. As Father Paul likes to always tell me, when he's talking about other Cleopa of Romania, one of his favorite modern saints, he would say, patience, patience, patience. Patience, patience, patience. What else do we need, elder? And another boatload of patience, patience, patience. The Lord says it, by the way, too, with patience, possess your souls. But we want it right now. You know, want the burger now, go through the drive-thru, want everything. You want to stream the video, you don't have to go to the video store anymore. Right now, the spiritual life and life in God is not attained this way. Right? I'm boggled, you know, kids turn 16, don't want their licenses anymore. Right? I wanted to go everywhere. Well, now you don't, I had to talk to my friends, I had to actually get my license, right? Now, you don't have to. You can Facebook them, FaceTime everything. There's like no effort needed. And in the one place where the most, if you're in a marriage, you give all your heart to your spouse. And the more you put in, the more you get out of it. It's the same with Christ. He gives us freedom. He will fill you to the extent you want to be filled. He doesn't force feed you. All the grace is there. The buffet table is open. Do we want to be there? Or are we drawn by the other things of this world? 38 years he waited. And he said, the Lord says a funny question. Do you want to be healed? And when I first read it as a kid, I went, well, duh, of course he wants to be healed. What are you thinking? He's paralyzed. It was a pretty important question. The Lord knew what he wanted, and he asked us the same question. Do you really want to be healed? Are you serious about this? You might say, Father, come on, I'm in church. Of course I want to be saved. No, it's not so obvious. Just because we're here in body doesn't mean we're here in soul. It doesn't mean we really want to be healed. Many of us want to come here, feel moral, feel pious, and go right back to the same way of living. And then the Lord is asking you, do you really want to be healed? Is this really your home? Is He really the center of your life? If He is, He'll heal everything in you. Everything, if you want to be. If not, it's a joke. So He asks him, do you want to be healed? And the man says, yes. He says, I have no one to put me in the pool. I have no one. No one. The fathers also say, look how we've abandoned our fellow man. No one sacrificed and said, hey, let's put this guy in. He's been here 38 years. No. Everyone was looking out for number one. How many well-bodied people stood there and just watched? Lord, have mercy. We watch people suffering. We watch them bleeding. We watch them in pain. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too... The Lord was not like this. He came right to the suffering of a person. But the man didn't give up and say, this is never going to work 38 years. He didn't give up. He waited. He was going to flail himself in there if he could. Any way he could. He didn't give up. And the Lord rewarded that kind of patience. Joachim and Anna were old and teased and mocked for having no children among the Jews. And the Lord responded to their patience with what? They were given the beautiful Panagia, the Mother of God, as their daughter. What a great gift for patience, patience, patience. Diligence in the spiritual life. Not giving up. Not being wimpy. Being soldiers. When you were baptized, he said, the newly enlisted warrior of Christ. You promised to fight for the kingdom of God. You promised to fight against sin. And we're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's like Benjamin was cooking breakfast with me yesterday. I want to cook breakfast, Papa. I said, great. Halfway in, he goes, okay, you got this? Because I want to go play. No. No, now it's getting hard and you're getting spattered by grease. We're sticking with this, right? It's the same. Seems fun. But Orthodox is not about flashiness and, ooh, this is so dynamic. And so, it's about a life. Day in, day out. Struggling together. Dragging each other to the kingdom of God. And what's the result of this patience? The Lord heals him with a word. With the word, the heavens were created. Let there be light. The words of Christ, who was there, who is God, there's light. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is resurrected. With the same word of God, the Logos, the word of God, he cries out, and the man is healed. Unbelievable miracle. And he says, take up your bed and walk. Prove it to everyone. Show everyone. He takes it up and he rejoices. They all know him for 38 years. Obvious miracle. What's the response of the Jews? He says, the man told me to take up my bed and walk. He told me to walk on the Sabbath. They didn't care about the miracle. And they didn't say, who's the man who healed you? What did they say? Who's the man who told you to pick up your bed and walk? How often do we despise the gifts of God? How often do we see a fellow person healed and go, well, I want to be healed, and they're not. You know what I mean? Become legalists, like babies. Rather than to rejoice to see someone coming. Rejoice to see a homeless person become an Orthodox Christian, even though they might smell a little bit. Who cares? Maybe they smell outwardly, but their soul is incense to God, and we're judging them. Or we're judging how someone's dressing in the church, or judging these little things, constantly judging. The fathers say we're in many ways despising the miracles in people's lives. Not seeing the good in them. Not seeing how Christ is working in them. But the Lord finds this man. And he finds him later and he says, sin no more. So what does that mean? How did this man get paralyzed? His sin. Physical sickness comes from lots of places, the fathers say. Number one, sin. We're a unity of soul and body. If you sin, don't expect to stay healthy in any part of your life. Right? And maybe there's a rare person who's a Job of this world. The fathers say those are few and far between. The blind man, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? None. But the glory of God can be manifest. Those are rare. The fathers say the cause of sickness is sin. Physical and spiritual. When our body gets sick, we won't waste any time or money. We got to fix it. We got to go to the doctor, go to Instacare. I had someone call me Instacare this morning with strep throat. We're serious about it, as we should be. But think about how we just are so lazy spiritually. So physically, I got a fever, I got chills, I'm freaking out, I got a rash. We go to the doctor, if we have cancer, we go, spend all of our money, everything. But our soul is sick, and we go, it's okay. It's okay. Right? Why aren't we running to confession more? Why aren't we running to the medicine of fasting? Why aren't we running to the medicine of prostrations? First of all, because we don't really think we're that sick. We think we're fine. Right? We're like a person in a dark room. Thinks he's fine. And the light of Christ shines a little bit into our darkness. And we see the wounds. What's our first reaction? Slam that door. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not sick. It's like a person dying of a disease whose arms are falling off, who's in denial that they're sick in the first place. We are sick. Myself first among you. The light of Christ shines and the darkness can't comprehend it. We have a choice with this great freedom, brothers and sisters. We can be like this man. Maybe we're not physically paralyzed. We're all spiritually dead. Spiritually paralyzed without Christ. And it wasn't just Christ. You might go, well, if I was with Christ, he could raise me up. But 2,000 years later, nonsense. The same church, the same Holy Spirit. Think about Peter. Remember Peter, our beloved Peter, who was betrayed Christ, everything. Look what God made him. You heard about it today. A woman named Tabitha, she died. He came, he prayed, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised her from the dead. The Lord said, you'll see greater things than these, than he did, and we've seen it in 2,000 years of the church, in these celebrated saints. It still happens. Miracles still happen in the lives of the saints. But you know why we don't believe it? Because we're not living in the heavenly realm. We're so bogged down. We should be reading spiritual books a lot more than we're checking our email. We should be reading the gospel a whole lot more than we're checking our Facebook. We should be reading the lives of the saints and the elders and visiting monasteries and incensing our house and having beautiful icon corners and actually going there and loving the church and getting together as Orthodox Christians, singing the hymns of the church at home, whether you're alone or with a family. If you surround yourself with beauty and surround yourself with holiness, and with all the medicine in the hospital, his resurrection will become your resurrection. But how dare we say, oh, his resurrection didn't do anything. I'm not changing, darn it. You go to the doctor and he says, do this, 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 and this, and you're going to be okay. And you go back and say, what a crock, I'm not better. And he says, well, did you do this? No, I did it once, but I didn't really like it. It was kind of nasty medication, so I don't want it in my mouth. Okay, did you change your diet? Well, no, because I like eating too much. No. Did you do this and this? No, I don't want to do any of that. So, Sherlock, you're still sick because you took none of the medicine. And we would recognize it as ludicrous in the world. It's exactly the same in the spiritual life. St. Peter was a great sinner, just like us. But he just said, no more. I have to take the medicine of Christ. When it's bitter, I won't spit it out. Patience, patience, patience. Do you want to be healed? That's the question you have to answer with Christ, with all of your being, but with your feet. How do we show him yes? Because we run to the medicine. Don't say, I'm not happy, I'm depressed, Father. If you're not coming to confession regularly, there's no way you're going to be happy. You're going to be torn down with guilt and sin. We all have sin. If you're not getting it out, you're going to be a mess. It's a guarantee. So come, take that medicine. If you're not fasting, it means you're addicted to your passions and you'll be a mess. So start fasting. If you don't say, I don't know God at all, I don't know Him, spend some time with Him. Do your morning and evening prayers diligently. Start saying the Jesus prayer. Ask Father Paul and I how to say it. Tell yourself you're always going to come to the church. Not just on Sunday, but make Saturday night Vespers. It was last night. It was bright, joyful, 45 minutes. Beautiful way to prepare for the resurrection. I don't care who's here and who's not here. I love seeing your faces. That's not my point, though. My point is we have all the healing in Orthodoxy. The church is the hospital given by Christ. And I'm so sad to hear you say, Father, I'm depressed. I want to kill myself. Father, I can't stand my husband. I can't stand my wife. My kids drive me crazy. I don't like my boss. I get it. But what I don't get is this. I get being walloped and life being hard. I get retreating to the church as the hospital. But when Christ says, here, here's the healing for that. Put this ointment on. No, I don't want to. Because we're in love with our sin. It's going to kill us. We're going to be like that man who says, no, Jesus, I've been here 38 years. I don't want it. We would never do that. So may we say to God, and newly baptized say, do you unite yourself to Christ? I do unite myself to Christ. You made a promise when you were baptized. You made a promise. All of us here, Orthodox Christians, have made a promise, and we have to keep making it every day that Christ will be the center of our life. His resurrection needs to become our resurrection. You know what happens when we do that? When we take the medicine of confession, of Holy Communion above all, of prayer and fasting, and we get rid of the junk that's getting in the way. When you have cancer and stuff, you're willing to sacrifice that, hopefully, hot dogs and all that kind of junky food. You might miss it, but not as much as you want life. You might miss meat or cheese on a Wednesday or Friday. You might miss your sleepy to get up a little early. You might miss some money to tie to the church. You might miss some time to come to confession. It might be hard. But do it for life. And I promise you, brothers and sisters, that's why this church is growing, this parish, because you are doing it. And thank God, to some measure, we're all taking the medicine. My prayer is that we all become better patients. And the degree to which we are willing to humble ourselves, take the medicine of Christ, He can resurrect us. He promises it. He promises eternal life. But we have to start tasting it in this life. The fathers say, if you don't taste paradise in this life, don't expect you will in the next. Let's feast on paradise in this life, brothers and sisters. Let's take all the medicine. Get rid of those reasons. All have a spiritual father. Let's all go to confession regularly. Let's all fast and pray and make our homes places of prayer, our cars, our workplaces. Let's scoot the junk out of the way a little bit. Let's see what happens. You will see. I promise. It's not my advice for the justice. It's the saints' advice. They're screaming to us, live this life. Run this race. And we'll find the greatest joy. And then people will look at us and say, they are different. Death has been overcome in these people. Sinful people, like us, myself first among you. This is why the church has endured persecution to persecution, because of humble, good patience Christians, like you, all of you. May the Lord help us to make His resurrection our resurrection, to find Him in everything we do, and may He heal us. May we say to Him in everything, in every word, in every deed, how we sit, how we walk, yes, Lord, I want to be healed by Your resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.